First of all, I would like to thank the organizer of this important cultural event for having invited me to present a lecture. The title of my presentation, Miracles, the Point of View of a Medical Researcher, reflects the experience of more than 10 years at the Consulta Medica, from now on defined medical board, of the Dicastery of the Cause of Saints. I will try, in the time allotted to me, to focus mainly on the medical aspects that accompany canonical procedure related to alleged miracles. First of all, as a general premise, I would like to recall one of the first concepts I learned when I initially participated in a medical consultation session of the medical board. But we, as medical experts, are not called to judge the existence or non-existence of the alleged miracle, but only the scientific inexplicability of what happened. Others, theologians, cardinals, and ultimately the Holy Father, have the important task, after having evaluated both the medical and theological aspect, to recognize an event as a miracle required for beatification and canonization. I would like to remind you of the difference between the impossibility of explaining a healing from illness naturally, as proved by medical experts, and its supernatural nature, either in substance or in manner. The former is a scientific, based on evidence gathered and examined according to the scientific methods, while the latter is a theological. In summary, these two roles can be summarized as follows: medicine has the task of determining, while theology has the task of interpreting how the alleged miracle has happened. This being said, there is no doubt that medical evaluation has a relevant role in determining not the miracle origin of the healing from illness, but the exclusion of a possible natural cause. The canonical procedure of canonization and beatification have their roots in the Middle Age, with the pontificate of Gregorio IX, 1227 to 1241, and have been modified over the centuries until the most recent reforms, among which we can recall that of Benedict XIV, the Servorum Dei Beatificatione et Beatorum Canonizzazione, that of Pius XII, with the establishment of the Medical Commission in 1948, and that of John XXIII, with the definition of the medical board, the Consulta Medica. In this regard, it's useful to recall that Cardinal Prospero Lambertini, Pope Benedict XIV, established a series of parameters for the definition of miraculous healing from illness, which centuries later retained their validity unchanged. Primum est ut morbus sit gravis et vel impossibilis vel curator difficilis. The disease must therefore be serious and difficult to cure. Secundum ut morbus quid pelitur non sit in ultima parte statu, ita non multa post declinare debeat. Translated into today's language, this means that the disease should be in an advanced stage of its natural evolutionary process, after which its natural resolution cannot take place. In short, to respect this proposition, the sick person recovers even though he/she had no probability of healing according to the cure that he has received. The other five conditions expressed by Cardinal Lambertini, as we will analyze in more detail below, concern the therapy, the time and manner in which the healing occurs, and its persistence. All these characteristics that are constitutive of miracles of which the prior definition is necessary, are followed by the judgment on the scientific inexplicability of an ailing. Of course, in order for this to be affirmed beyond any reasonable doubt, the analysis and evaluation of whether healing from illnesses occur must be conducted by experts as rigorously as possible. For this reason, the role of medical experts is important because they are called upon to judge, despite the awareness of human fallibility and limitation, whether or not a given event can find its own scientific explanation. Medical experts have been present in the evaluation of possible miracles related to cures of disease also in past centuries, as evidenced by the 13th century definition, peritis in arte credendum est. In addition to healings from illness, other possible miracles include some physical events, such as multiplication of food or water, narrow escape from danger after catastrophic events. On the other hand, healings from mental illness, family reconciliation, conversion, renunciation of a vice are not considered. The reason is that these facts are based on subjective elements that are difficult, if not impossible, to verify scientifically. It should be remembered that miraculous healing can occur all over the world and in every environment, whether religious or secular. It is said to recall that miraculous healing that happen in countries where the church is opposed, if not persecuted, are more difficult to document for objective reasons. The key element in the evaluation of miracles is the need for concrete elements of judgment that are objective and therefore subject to scientific analysis. The expert judgment is required to be unbiased and based on his own culture and experience only. In this way, his judgment, whether a positive or negative, will be helpful to the church. For this reason, the responsibility of medical professionals is great, and they must carry out their task as the prefect of the dicastery for the cause of saints. His Eminence Cardinal Semeraro point out in a recent meeting with the expert of the medical board by following two laws, lex scientiae and lex conscientiae. On the other hand, this approach respects the religiosity of the people of God who are to see the seas, sorry for the misspelling, person who have demonstrated great faith and charity in their life, risen to the glory of altars. On the other hand, this recognition is based on solid scientific basis. Therefore, experts must avoid approaching the case assigned to them the positivistic or scientistic attitude according to which the physician tries in every way to rule out the inexplicability of the healing from illness. It should be also avoid the fideistic naivety or readiness to consider any healing a priori inexplicable. The task of the medical expert is carried out through various stages, culminating in their presence in the medical board, which is the end of a complex process which begins with the collection of material, almost always clinical, at the diocesan level. This initial phase is extremely delicate, and for this reason, the attention of the medical expert appointed by local bishop who proceed over the collection of proofs must be at the highest level so as not to initiate procedure that may later prove to be unsupported by objective evidence. In other words, the expert must refrain from fumus miraculi and follow only the evaluation of the events and whether they may be considered as unexplainable. In addition to clinical materia, the visus witnesses play a fundamental role in evaluation of alleged miracles. Even in so-called historical miracles, concerning healings occur even centuries ago, it's necessary to have the testimonies and the description of the event from direct eyewitnesses. These testimonies should be always collected by a super partes authority. The de visu witness must refer to both the medical or technical aspect of the alleged miracle. In particular, it should be stressed the importance of the presence of the medical or technical expert, possibly a specialist in the field to which the alleged miracle relates, in the stage of the development of the diocesan process. In fact, his role is to assist the ecclesiastical tribunal in the specific and particular question related to cause, which are usually complex and require specialized knowledge. One of the fundamental criteria in the evaluation of miracle concerning healing from illness is the completeness and durability of healing over time. In this context, the importance of the work of two medical experts ab inspezione, appointed during the diocesan investigation, should be emphasized. Their task, carried out independently of each other, is to visit the person who had been cured, to ask for any specific test, and to draw up an opinion on the current state of health. Special attention should be paid in case of healings from disease to health documentation, which must be carefully collected so that nothing is overlooked or left out. This documentation, together with the visual testimonies, provide a solid basis on which to reach an incontrovertible, I would say, in quote, incontrovertible, judgment in the medical board about the scientific inexplicability of what happened. In this regard, the documents relating to the alleged miracle are of primary importance. See Canons 1539 to 46. Since in the modern way of seeing, there is a devaluation of oral testimony and greater evidentiary force is attributed to document. In this context, I would like to refer, in a very general way, to the difficulty often encountered by experts in the medical board in assessing a possible recovery in the presence of fragmentary and or incomplete documentation. However, the scarcity or in some cases the absence of valid documentation such as medical records, laboratory exams, x-rays, CT scans, and other instrumental examination, etc., does not in itself constitute an insurmountable obstacle to the formulation of an expert opinion, which may conclude for a scientific unexplainable healing. This condition usually applies to the so-called historical cases that occur at a time when clinical documentation was very scarce and there was no laboratory support, or to more recent cases that occur in remote areas of resource-limited countries where access to medical facility is difficult, if not impossible. Proper importance should be given to the testimony of the treating physician, the value of which was also emphasized in the past by Pope Lambertini, who wrote, "One must proceed with great caution in approving miracles of the third kind, a category to which miraculous healing belongs when the testimony of the treating physician is lacking." In fact, even today, at the diocesan level, the process begins with the testimony of the attending physician, or physician if they are more than one, who have had the opportunity to assist the sick person and to assess the severity and evolution of his condition. It is not superfluous to recall, however, that doctors are bound by professional secrecy with regard to what they have done, and therefore it is necessary to ask the patient, or in his or absence, the legal representative for a release from secrecy. At a later stage, again, at the diocesan level, the medical expert must ensure that the medical and testimonial documentation is such that is possible to achieve at a certain diagnosis and prognosis, that the treatment given is clear and the recovery meets the following indispensable requirement: rapid, complete, lasting, and scientifically unexplained. These requirements, especially the last one, even if they will be subject in the final stage of the process to careful evaluation by the medical board, are the necessary condition for the process not to stop, but to continue. The care and accuracy with which the clinical documentation is collected and made available are essential elements for the expert evaluation, since it will be carefully revised and reconsidered by the expert of the medical board. The medical board, through the judgment of its member or medical expert in the case to be evaluated, must, after careful examination of clinical documentation, reach a conclusion on the scientific explicability or non-explicability of the healing. In this regard, the constituent elements of miracles, including healings from disease, are as follows: diagnosis, prognosis, treatment, and their influence on the healing. In addition, the way in which the healing occurs is relevant, instantaneous, complete and permanent, and finally, unexplainable from a scientific point of view. Let us now try to analyze each of these aspects previously listed with specific comment for each. Diagnosis. This is a scientific assessment of the illness. The method used to study the event and thus achieve a correct diagnosis must be adapted to the progress of science, taking into account the time and circumstance in which the event considered miraculous took place. This is a methodological approach specific to the empirical science, which considers two alternatives: confirmation or denial of the scientific explicability of the event considered miraculous. The disease is analyzed in all its aspects: initial phase, development, cure. Through clinical documentation, the testimony of those who are present at the event considered miraculous, the visu, or in their absence of those who had knowledge of it, the audito. In order to declare a healing from illness a true miracle, it is necessary to define with certainty that a person was cured of. If in the investigation of an alleged miracle serious doubt arises as to whether diagnostic certainty can be achieved, such as an obstacle would greatly impair the possibility of further consideration. Diagnosis is a judgment about the disease made on the basis of the signs and symptoms present, and more importantly, on the basis of the instrumental medical clinical evidence. The positive diagnostic evidence for achieving a diagnostic judgment about a disease may lead to erroneous assessment of the diagnosis and therefore to difficulties interpreting the clinical case under consideration. In an attempt to make the most accurate diagnostic judgment possible, it is important to take advantage of multidisciplinary consultation at all stages of this complex process. As already mentioned, in certain circumstances, such as in so-called historical cases and or in situation of objective difficulty, the diagnosis may find valid confirmation only with little clinical documentation from the testimony of physicians who treated the person object of the alleged miracle. As for the type of disease that we can be subject to expert evaluation for purpose of explaining or explaining the healing, it includes virtually all human diseases without any particular predilection. Thus, infectious, traumatic, neoplastic, autoimmune pathology, etc. are equally present. Likewise, there does not seem to be any geographical prevalence regarding the type of diseases or the number of reports of events considered miraculous. Prognosis. This element refers to the predictive judgment about the course and evolution of the disease. Prognosis is closely related to the previous element, the diagnosis, which specify the severity and consequently the evolution of the disease. Two aspects are considering the prognosis, one quad vitam and the other quad valitudinem. In both cases, the prognosis can be defined as severe, moderate, unfavorable, or favorable. One aspect that in my experience is relevant either in the formulation of the expert opinion or in the final judgment of the medical board concerns the acquisition of a correct diagnosis. Certainly, as mentioned above, the severity of the disease and the consequent poor prognosis is an important element, although it's not sufficient in itself to formulate an extrapolability of recovery. In this regard, reference is often made to the rates of mortality or permanent disability that a particular disease can cause. Literature research through consultation of authoritative scientific texts and the most recent scientific paper present in international database is absolutely correct and indeed represent a necessary methodology for established prognosis. However, the final expert judgment must be focused on the specific case, which may present peculiarities that are not always considered in a general evolution or evaluation of the disease. In other words, never more than in this particular situation does the concept often expressed by medical authorities that one should not speak of disease but of sick people apply. When it comes to so-called historical cases, the assessment of the prognosis is even more delicate because, as recently affirmed by Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, the work of the expert must combine the principle developed over the century in the evaluation of allergy miracle with the achievement of modern science. This is the mainstream to follow and adhere to in the expert evaluation of an historical case, trying to place the healing from illness and the allergy miracle in the context of what medicine was at that time. In other words, the expert should avoid making a judgment that takes into account later medical advances that were not available at the time of the event. Also, with regard to prognosis, it will be necessary for the expert opinion to take into account not only the natural history of the disease, but also the so-called pathomorphosis, which means the change in the natural disease caused by therapy and the extent to which this may have influenced the prognosis. Particularly in the case of life-threatening diseases, which often have an unfavorable prognosis, it's important for the physician to be able to assess when the patient has reached the point of no return, where the evolution is toward the unfavorable outcome. This is an important moment because it allows one to consider what has happened as unexplainable. For some year on, now, forensic medicine has been used the probabilistic judgment of more likely yes, more likely no. In other words, in order to make a judgment about a given event and the responsibilities associated with it, one reasons in probabilistic term. This approach is not used in the medical board, since the church's goal is to reach the maximum certainty in medical judgment regarding the miracle, and not the judgment based only on the greater probability of one event over another. While admitting that medicine is not an exact science and is based on probabilistic calculation, the medical board requires the moral rather than the mathematical certainty of judgment be reached and not just more probable. I had this sentence later on when I reread this presentation. I don't believe that there is a mathematical answer to unexplained healing from illness, only an attempt to explain them adhering to scientific facts as possible. Moral certainty, I believe, represent just this. therapy. A relevant aspect concerns the therapy, the correctness of which is extensively analyzed in medical legal reports, in national courts, both in civil and criminal cases. For the purpose of scientific explanation of a case, it is of paramount importance to establish the causal relationship between recovery and therapy. In its evaluation, the medical board must answer accurately and clearly about the appropriateness and effectiveness of a therapy, if any, applied. For this person, the therapy may be defined as appropriate, partially appropriate, or inappropriate. In terms of effectiveness, the therapy will define as effective, partially effective, or ineffective. If no therapy was applied, the final conclusion of the medical board always clearly states that the therapy was not applied. This occurrence mainly concerns historical cases where current therapy were not practiced because they were not available. A good example of this situation are cases of recovery from infectious diseases caused by bacteria, such as pneumonia, meningitis and other, for which effective antibiotic therapy was not practiced because it did not exist at that time. The expert evaluation of these specific cases must take this important element into account, and the judgment must therefore be contextualized to the time of the events. Paradoxically, these cases are easier to evaluate by experts about the unexplained nature of the recovery, since there is no the confounding element of the therapy. However, it should be emphasized that even a case in which the specific diagnostic procedure has been correctly performed and the correct therapy has been carried out, it is possible to come to the conclusion that healing is scientific inexplicable if the conditions supporting this conclusion are present. With regard to the mode of healing, there are a few elements that we can consider separately. Quartum, it's always Cardinal Lambertini who wrote this sentence. Quartum, ut sanatio sit subita et momentanea, immediacy of healing. This is the definition of when a healing has occurred. It requires medical knowledge of the natural history of a disease and its progression. In addition, in cases where there's been medical or surgical therapy, one must take into account the usual time course that this case has. In order to define immediate or at least rapid healing, the time interval required for healing must be extremely short compared to that which usually occurs in a given disease. This element takes into account the time that is considered normal in relation to the severity of the disease being evaluated. It is obvious that when we are talking about relative immediacy. Therefore, in addition to the term instantaneous, the medical board uses other terms such as rapid, very rapid. This term expresses the clear meaning of a substantial deviation of the disease and its relatively recover from its natural evolution over time. The requirement of rapidity of healing is essential in all cases where healing is judged inexplicable, not because a given disease cannot be cured, but because its resolution occurs in a natural time frame. In this case, we speak of scientific inexplicability quod modum. Such healings are never due to self-suggestion, nor were psychosomatic mechanisms. If there is even the slightest suspicion that the healing falls into this area, it should not be considered a miracle. For the sake of completeness of the analysis, it should be noted that the term quadrem refers to cases in which the unexplained regression of the disease is valued rather than the timing of the healing from illness. For example, the disappearance of a tumor mass in the absence of any treatment. Quintum, ut sanatio sit perfecta, non mancat concisa. The requirement of completeness proves to be indispensable in the evolution of the alleged miracle. Therefore, case of partial or incomplete healing cannot be declared true miracle. This does mean that all signs of previous illness, such as scars from surgery, must disappear. When one can also speak of a complete cure when there is a complete and definitive functional recovery, even if there are some residual effects. Although the so-called restitutio ad integrum facilitates the judgment of completeness, in case of allergy miracles, the presence of any after effects does not necessarily contradict the definition of a completeness. Sometimes the medical board, considering the seriousness of the cases and the certainty of serious consequence, has defined some healing as complete despite some mild results. In this case, functional completeness was carefully evaluated. Ultimum, ut sublatus morbus non redeat, healings considered miraculous must also be considered permanent. This requirement presupposes a clear judgment about the possibility of possible recurrence or relapse of the same disease. Sometimes the relative disappearance of the disease has been judged by the medical board to be regression or remission, but this is not the same as the judgment of permanence. In defining a cure as permanent, the factor of time must often be taken into account, especially in case of cancer. For these two aspects, the completeness of the cure and its permanence, the judgment of the physician ab inspezione, who are appointed during the diocesan inquiry to assess the current state of health of the person, is of fundamental importance in defining whether a cure is complete and permanent. The evaluation of an allergy miracle is always complex from a scientific point of view, since it must be taken into account that the acquisition of medical knowledge is progressive and provisional. This last term, which seems negative, should be interpreted positively, since it is the humus through which human progress is developed and implemented. According to this principle, each theory is replaced over time by a new one, which represents another step forward in knowledge and thus in progress. This continuous evolution of medicine implies that it cannot provide absolute certainty, and for this reason, when analyzing an event considered miraculous, one must still keep open the possibility that not everything can be explained by science and medicine. When this premise is well understood, it must be recognized that compared to the past, disease today has become a highly measurable phenomenon through the use of various instruments. It is possible to deepen the degree of certainty of diagnosis and prognosis, reconstructing the facts in a rigorous and consistent manner with inductive and deductive methodological steps. Finally, contemporary medicine has a high level of knowledge based on the verification and reproducibility of what is claimed, evidence-based medicine. While acknowledging that medicine and science has achieved milestones that were unimaginable until recently, there are still cases in which appropriate medical and surgical therapy is ineffective, even if the patient recovers inexplicably from a scientific perspective. There is a further aspect that deserves to be considered, and it is somehow related to the future development of medicine. It could be summarized with the following question. How to evaluate a recovery of any disease that is today considered as a scientific inexplicable, but that tomorrow could, with the improvement of knowledge, become explicable? I think the answer to this question lies in the practice of what is being done today with so-called historical cases. Miraculous healing is being considered in patients with disease that are perfectly treatable and curable today, but at the time of the events were not. For this reason, the non-explicability of healing recognized by experts today on the basis of current scientific knowledge and the potential of today's medicine should not be affected tomorrow by medical advantage. Consequently, the recognition of the miraculous nature of such healing remains, and it's perfectly congruent with the principle enshrined in this regard by the Church. Having had the honor of serving for many years as an expert for the medical board, it gives me the pleasure to conclude this brief excursus by testifying the methodological rigor that is followed in the evolution of case of allergy miracle healing from disease. This rigor is rooted in the centuries-old tradition of the Church. It attains through careful and scrupulous scientific analysis at the recognition of the miracle as the supreme proof of holiness. Finally, I would like to recall that on June 1st, 2015, during his visit to the congregation, Pope Francis stated, the Pope must be quoted in Italian, "Io in coscienza rifiuterò una beatificazione senza miracolo, perché per me il miracolo è il dono di Dio, che ci dice, questo va. I santi che ho fatto senza miracolo erano tutti beati, con una sola cosa in comune. Erano grandi evangelizzatori. Anchieta, Juanipero Serra, Favre. This is in my translation is, I will in conscience refuse a beatification without a miracle, because for me the miracle is the finger of God that tells us this is possible. Saints I did without a miracle were blessed with one thing in common. They were great evangelizers, Anchieta, Juanipero Serra, and Father. Thank you for your attention.